The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Dan Prof Show. Interesting piece at RealClearPolitics.com about our entertainment industry and China. Obviously, it has been much discussed over the last year and a half or so as people became generally aware of the tight relationship between the NBA and China. Those paying attention to how Hollywood movies are financed, we understand the importance of the Chinese market, Chinese investment, but also the Chinese market in terms of making money on Hollywood movies. And there's been other scandals, the Malaysian government embezzlement scandal that actually looped in Leo DiCaprio because of the financiers of his Wolf of Wall Street film. And so interested to get a perspective from somebody who knows Hollywood that the breakup is coming. I hope that doesn't derail LeBron James's acting career. For more on this, pleased to be joined by Chris Fenton. He's a producer, former president of DMG Entertainment, and author of Feeding the Dragon, Inside the $1 Trillion Dilemma Facing Hollywood, the NBA, and American Business, which is scheduled for release at the end of next month, July 28th. So I'm sure you can pre-order on Amazon and all such borders, all such other places. Chris Fenton, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You start out your piece saying, you know, this seemed to be a perfect match, a market of a billion people and the leading incubators of entertainment work product in the world coming together in a mutually beneficial relationship. That's the vision of it. That's maybe how it was working in part, but it doesn't seem to be working anymore. Give us the trajectory of this relationship.
Well, it's not just a Hollywood situation. Obviously, there's U.S. companies that look towards the China market in the very early days of capitalism between the two countries, which a lot of historians will say happened right around 1979. My feeling is that it really didn't get or generate any real momentum until shortly after the Tiananmen Square incident in 1989. The growth trajectory of many companies, and you mentioned the NBA earlier, was massive once they started to set foot over there, put together teams on the ground there, start to collaborate with the government in regards to how to get access to that massive consumer base. And then through the 90s, it built up. Hollywood, which I've been a big part of my whole career, really started to get interested in China around the year 2000. And a lot of that had to do with sort of the start of a fledgling theater business, a handful of movie titles getting in there, the outlook of where that market could go, et cetera. But it really started to accelerate post the 2008 Olympics. And that was the period where the CCP said, okay, here are a variety of different industries we're going to strive to make world class. And the film industry was one of those. At that point, they didn't even have 5,000 screens. And keep in mind, in the U.S., we have roughly 40,000. They went to 5,000 screens almost immediately. And then cut to today, there are over 70,000 screens there. So that gives you an idea just on the exhibition side of how fast that growth trajectory has been. And then if you extrapolate that to revenues, it follows essentially the same curve.
The documentary One Child Nation is perhaps the best documentary I've seen on the propagandizing that the Chinese communists do to their own people, brainwashing them to support the ghoulish policy that they supported for 35 years and frankly are now still supporting. It's just the two child policy, because the one child policy created a bit of a gender imbalance in the country. Imagine that happening.
Look, I try to come at it from a nonpartisan and try to see both sides of the equation as best as possible. I've gotten hawkish over the years for sure. But one of the things that you got to keep in mind is the narrative that the populace gets is one single narrative. It is the party narrative. So people ask me, well, what's like, how do you compare that to the United States? And I say, well, imagine if you had Prager and Glenn Beck and Fox News and MSNBC and CNN and Don Lemon and Rachel Maddow all saying the exact same thing all the time. And that's all anybody in the United States got for news and messaging. Well, that's what's happening in China, right?
So those,
that's all they know.
Yes.
Right? That's
no, I get it. Yeah, I get it. I thought that came through very nicely in the One Child Nation doc. But so then how does the relationship start to strain? It can't just be Trump and tariffs. There has to be more to it than that. And I assume with public-facing industries like Hollywood and the NBA, for example, boy, that moment where the NBA was exposed for criticizing that Houston Rockets GM for criticizing China communist treatment of Uyghur Muslims in China, that was really expository moment for the NBA versus their domestic market here in the United States. I assume part of that is the basis of the distancing. We just can't be a part of the sort of oppression that's going on in China.
I mean, that's a great question. Just with the first one, how is the bifurcation started? Like, how is the tension created? I mean, there's various things that have come to light. You got the trade war, the Hong Kong situation. You have the Uyghur controversy, information war. Our middle class has been decimated by all the manufacturing that's moved over there. You got the South China Sea conflict. Taiwan's an issue. That supply chain disruption that COVID has brought to light has brought a major problem with national security. And then obviously COVID. The NBA situation was really startling to me personally, because I was about to deliver my book, this colorful journey of working between the two countries and all the, you know, different challenges and antagonists and the protagonists and the emotional, hook that happened with my kids and my wife as I journeyed through that. And I thought to myself, as a globalist, I did a lot of amazing stuff. Like, we really opened that market to make money for U.S. companies there. But then when that Daryl Morey tweet came out, the Houston Rockets GM, it totally shook me, because I thought to myself, oh my God, what he just said and the way the NBA reacted to it in this pandering type of fashion is what I had been doing all these years. Like, I had been towing the party line, because remember, in China, if you want to sell products and services there, you have to sell first to the government, then you get access to the consumer. Mm-hmm. But as you're selling to the government, you're doing a lot of pandering. You're doing a lot of that stuff that the NBA was guilty of, as were all of us. So I had to go in and fix a lot of the parts of the book to add a little bit of commentary to the fact that, geez, like, I was doing stuff that people feel was making me part of it, and the complicit nature of what we were doing there as globalists. And now we need to change that moving forward. So one of the things that I really hope a reader takes away from the book is, we weren't all evil capitalists that were trying to sell out America. We just got caught up in the fog of war of globalism is great, free trade is great, just make it happen, right? That was the mantra we lived by. We never thought of the repercussions of that. But now that we're woke to it, to use that word that's so overused, we need to change.
He is Chris Fenton. He's a Hollywood producer, former president of DMG Entertainment, author of the forthcoming book, Feeding the Dragon, Inside the $1 Trillion Dilemma Facing Hollywood, the NBA, and American Business, that releases on July 28th. Look forward to that. Pre-order it on Amazon in advance of its formal release. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Look forward to the book, and good luck with that.
Hey, I really appreciate you having me on.
Take care.
You're listening to The Dan Proft Show on the Salem Radio Network.